Let's bring in our next guest. Joins us regularly here on the People's Show and on Sportsnet 650, former Vancouver Canuck, Yannick Hansen. Yannick, my partner in crime here, Randeep, is going to Ottawa. Was Ottawa high on the list of best road trip cities?
No, it was one of those you just had to get over with. it was usually at the tail end, too, so it was like, okay, we've been gone now for 12 days, 2 weeks here. Let's just... Let's get 2 points and let's get out of here. We'd always stay out in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to do. So, yeah, no, it was definitely not a highlight.
Okay, Yannick, to save myself on this, I'm starting in Ottawa and ending in Montreal. That's better, right?
That is much better. no doubt about that.
Yannick Hansen joining us here on the People's Show. The Canucks' big summer. A lot of the details are done. A lot of the heavy lifting has been done. A lot of turnover on the roster. Do you think they're a better team, Yannick?
There's no question about that. They're better. They're better than they were a week ago. How much better? We'll see. I think we've been talking about this for the last couple of months now, that there are so many holes, retooling your entire bottom six, filling out some defensive spots as well. They have filled out a lot of the holes. There are still needs and wants, but I also don't think you can get it all done in one fell swoop. They have more pieces in place now where you can see a team starting to take shape. You have your number 1, 2, 3 centers now, hopefully for the next many years down the line now. You have a defenseman who theoretically can step in behind Quinn Hughes and be your second, third defenseman. I still think you need one more in that range where the gap from Quinn and OEL to the next best defenseman is still too big. I'd like to see one more in there. I know you can't do that this year. There's no money for it, and picking those guys out of the blue is almost next to impossible. But again, you're starting to see a team that taking shape, that should take a step in the right direction this year, hopefully contend for a playoff, get in there, and then you can add a piece here and there down the line, and hopefully 2, 3, 4 years down the line, you have a team where you're saying, start of the season, okay, this Canuck team, they're a contender.
Well, you mentioned Hughes, and you mentioned Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Jack Rathbone is probably going to get a very good shot at making the team, so the left-hand side is going to be very offensive-minded. On the right-hand side, that's where there's some worries, where do you have a high-end defenseman that can play in that, you know, that top four consistently enough? Tyler Myers, good player, but he's had his moments, and Hamonic and Tucker Poolman now. Do you see somebody that can play, you know, that role next to a Oliver Ekman-Larsson consistently enough?
That's where the question comes in now. Do they have that? And I think now you need guys to play a little bit above what they're probably expected to be able to. But that's the name of the game in the salary cap world. So one of those guys you're mentioning, they're going to have to step up and up their games. You're going to see quality opponents. You're going to see more ice time than you're probably used to. So they need some of these right-handed defensemen that they now went out and found and fill some big minutes and some big shoes. Like I say, you can't expect everything to get done on July 28th here. So we are still looking for somebody to step up and do a little bit more than we expected, instead of the pieces just falling where they are. And you can say, okay, these guys, they just they fill out their role, and this is what they're brought into, and that's enough. No, we need them to do a little bit extra based on the type of players they are.
Yannick Hansen, our guest. You know, the sense I get is that Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be used in all situations, and it's going to have the usage of, you know, a top pairing type of defenseman. It's kind of a big bet that they're making that he can succeed in that sort of a role. You know, how much do you think Oliver can have success in that type of usage?
At $7.5 million, he has to. Otherwise, he's taken up too much cap space. So they have to find a way to turn back the age clock off on him, if you will. He doesn't have to be a Norris Trophy defenseman that he was 5 years ago, but he has to be the clear number two defenseman in Vancouver, hopefully challenging Quinn. So you have that 1-2 punch, and you can almost leave them on the ice for 50 minutes at the game, and they're They're controlling the play with their finesse and skill, skating, getting out of trouble, and hopefully doesn't have to spend too much time defending. So again, he has to find a way to up his game here. I mean, he's not brought in here as a cap casualty, and we're just offloading a contract from big Arizona's part. No, he's brought in here to push this team in the right direction. So you're going to need him to eat a lot of minutes. You're going to need him to produce. You're going to need him to play key moments. Again, they brought in a lot of guys that hopefully can fill some of that penalty kill. But again, he will need to take his lifting there as well. But again, you need to see a clear guy as his role is coming in here, and he has to be the player he was.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Yannick Hansen, as we are every Friday, and we've talked about OEL, we've talked about Tucker Poolman. You can add Connor Garland, Jason Dickinson to that conversation as well. Which addition is the most intriguing to you from a Canucks perspective?
I think Oliver is known. He's a known commodity. We kind of know what to expect. This Garland, he can come in and be the hidden gem. If he comes in and fill the role producing like he did the last couple of years in Phoenix, he will have been a home run for Jim. I mean, we've been talking about the top six, which really only been a top four, or top five the last year and a bit here. If he can come in and solidify that, and now you have a defined top six in Vancouver that you can roll, you don't have to guess any given night, oh, who's going to be in this spot? Is this going to be so and so? No, these are the guys, and they're producing. And if he can find that and fill that, then not only is a tremendous player to get in, but at the cap hit, again, he'll have to contribute. But paying just under five for a guy who can hopefully chip in 20 goals, put up in the 50-point range, that's found money, if you will.
You know, the forward group gives me a lot more confidence than maybe some of the bets they've made on defense so far. And it just feels like, and we talked about this a lot during the season, Yannick, it just feels like a lot of the players, they slot better into the roles they are likely to be given. You know, Brandon Sutter is a fourth-line center now. You can see him having a lot of success in that role, and the cap hit has obviously come down as well. It just feels like this forward group has got a lot of versatility, and players are going to be able to fill their roles better.
Yeah, exactly. And the way I look at it right now is you have Tanner Pearson, you have Höglander, and you have this Podolsky, which we don't really know where it's going to slot in, how good he is, what can he do. You have these three players who are fighting for a top six spot, and the two player that loses out will get pushed back into roles they're probably a little bit better than on the third line there. And that's what you want. It's internal competition, guys fighting for a little bit more, keeping guys on their games. Or like, if I don't produce, well, I'll lose my spot next to Bo or Petey, depending who it is. And again, you're looking at a matchup scenario. You're now looking at, okay, we can roll 1, 2, 3, 4, where the last year or so, when we looked at the Canucks, when top six was on the ice, you might see some offense. Bottom six was on the ice, the other team got a break. Momentum shifted, puck most of the times got shifted into the Canucks end, and then they had to come back, start all over. Where now you're starting to see a blueprint of a team that can roll four lines and can, again, make the shifts in the right end of the ice. It's much nicer to change and get on in the offensive zone. You're seeing tired guys that are trying to get off instead of being on the receiving end of that. And that'll also lead to more offense, better opportunities, better matchup challenges, all these things. So, yeah, the forward group looks much improved. And again, like you spoke to about Sutter, in a fourth-line role, he's perfectly matched there. Right-handed center can do all the defensive responsibility as well. You don't really have to worry about having Dickinson or Sutter out there defensively. They're both good defensively, bigger body, can take draws. Hopefully Sutter can teach him a little bit and get him dialed in. Sutter's been very good in the circle for a long time, and again, it's one of those things where you can now start to teach the young guys about a little bit.
Well, there's a lot of additions, but there were some subtractions. Well, a very important one at that. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to you about Mark Stowe's comments about Alex Edler testing free agency. We now know it wasn't a bluff. He's in L.A. You played with him. What did he mean to the team when you were on it, and what kind of fit do you see in L.A.?
Steady Eddie. You always knew what you got for him. Very good in his own end. Good first pass. He was very physical in his younger days and had that sneaky cold shoulder that caught a lot of guys off guard. Could produce some offense. Obviously, he's got a little bit older. That's been taken away from him. Again, he's not getting the power play either. But again, a very, very sound defender that you love to have on your team. And middle to bottom pairing to kind of round out your team. And again, ton of experience.
Yannick Hansen, our guest. You know, one of the big stories of this offseason, Yannick, is teams looking at size and physicality again and wanting to get tougher. I guess the New York Rangers are the poster child of that with everything they've done, even getting Ryan Reeves now to try and, I guess, respond to Tom Wilson and the Washington Capitals. It feels like a bit of an overcorrection for me of wanting and paying maybe too much for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens, and I think Montreal is at fault for that, probably, sawing what the four big defensemen did there for them. It's what happened. It's a copycat league. That stuff happens. When certain teams win, then teams tend to emulate that a little bit more. It's a lot harder to go out and emulate what Tampa looks like because there aren't that many of those type of players around. So then you look at the next best thing, and the next best thing last year was Montreal. Whether they can repeat that again next year, I'll leave that up to you guys. But again, it's kind of what happens. And again, whether it's right or wrong, time will tell. But I always believe you do need to have some sort of pushback. Guys need to play, no question about that. They need to be able to skate. They need to be able to handle the puck. But you do need some pushback so your skill are allowed to shine through and be skilled. So some sort of response is needed. Whether or not teams, Vancouver, went overboard, time will tell.
Yannick, most of the business in the NHL is done. Draft is over. Free agency, for the most part, is done. It seems like all the blockbuster trades outside of Jack Eichel are done as well. So when the players went off and when you, in your playing days, what was your off-season ritual? Like, how did you unwind immediately after the season?
Well, that is when you do it. You take a couple of weeks off, depending if you went to World Championship. Watch a little bit of the playoff, and then you slowly start finding your way back into the gym. And kind of like, I'd say my off season, if you will, where I don't do anything, we're talking 3 weeks at the max. Summers are harder than the winters, because you're trying to build all the strength, all the endurance, all the conditioning in the gym, running, all those things. You're trying to get that back up to the level where it needs to be. And then when training camps hit and season begins, you're just trying to maintain it and not lose it, which is impossible. You do as the season go on. But again, you're trying to get up to the point where you're at your peak athletic abilities, if you will. You're at your strongest, fastest, quickest in training camp. And that comes from, 3 or 4 months of very, very hard work, to be honest.
Before we let you go, Yannick, it's Olympic season. We're all kind of like last night, I'm watching trampoline. All of a sudden, I'm a trampoline expert, even though I haven't watched it in 4 years. But, you know how it goes. If you had a tremendous career as a professional hockey player, but what would your Olympic sport be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I will say this. I was wildly impressed with the triathlons. How they're going from swimming, running, or biking, and then into the running. Like it's amazing what they do and what they push through. I was never a very avid runner or anything like that. I was not very good at it, so I tip my hat to that stuff. I like watching the stuff where the guys or girls, that they push themselves to a point where it's like you know how that kind of is and feel, but I've never touched those areas myself. Like, I jump off the treadmill before I get to that point. But yeah, I was impressed by that.
Okay, looking back at your time in the NHL, is there one teammate that was such a fitness freak that you could maybe even see them in the Olympics outside of like hockey? Is there somebody that could make it?
We had a lot of fitness freak. David Booth spent more time in the gym than he did on the ice most of the time. So he was in tremendous shape, and he'd probably be one of those guys who could find something somewhere.
Well, Hank and Nanny could do the triathlete stuff, right?
Yeah, they might be able to. They might be able to sneak something in there, or the ping pong.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, they're good. No, they're good at ping pong. They weren't that good. But don't tell them I said that.
All right, we won't. Thanks for this, Yannick. As always, talk soon.
Yeah. Take care.